Ethan for that that report. Great to hear what the Lord is doing through his servants. And I'm looking around. Where's Nolan? There you are. You know, not too long ago, some of you remember, we had a baptism here. And a bunch of our baptism candidates talked about belonging to a community. And then a number of them talked about wanting to figure out how to serve. And I gotta say, I think God was looking down and saying, yes, when Nolan stepped up at the piano. For those of you that don't know, this is his first time playing in a praise band. And I think that's excellent, right? Almost heard you applaud. I can still remember, and some of you that have been here for a while will remember this as well, when Lorraine Langlois, as an usher, walked up the aisle, and I've forgotten his name. Yes. Walking, little guy, walking beside her, collecting the offering. And I celebrate the fact that in this church, historically, we haven't been such a stick in the mud that we don't allow that kind of thing. That you're part of the family, even if you're very small. And that's wonderful. Well, for 2 months, we've been looking at the importance of God's inspired word, the Bible. And then last Sunday, we explored the reality of God continuing to speak. And we said that we can't afford to put God on mute and say that, well, he spoke 2,000 years ago, but he's not speaking anymore. He continues to speak through his Holy Spirit, and our need as his children to listen, to hear, and to discern the things he wants to share with us. Yes, we have the scriptures as a foundation. We have Jesus as our supreme example and guide, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of fellow believers. If we combine all three of those, then ask, what does he want from us? I think we have clarity, at least in a general sense, and can be asking and discerning about the specific details of his will. And you just heard Ethan mention we're looking for what God has for us in the future. So in general, I intend to focus in July on what it means to be a missional church, and I'll explain that in a bit. And then in August, we'll have different missionaries sharing with us. So a missional church is a community of Christ followers who see the church as the people of God who are sent on mission. We have a purpose, a razón de ser. I love that when I can insert Spanish. A reason to exist. I can remember us singing this great hymn, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Right? You remember it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, I'm twisting that this morning, and you noticed Diane was wearing a t-shirt that said go, and she got the size wrong, so I'm wearing a tight t-shirt that says obey. Thank you, Diane. There's a subliminal message in that, I think. So I want us this month to repeat the phrase, go and obey. Can we do that? Go and obey. Okay, great. The other thing I want us to do is I want us to recite and memorize Acts 1, verse 8. And I'm going to help you by having it, Tyson's just on the ball, having it on the screen behind me. So we're going to say this verse together. It's a short verse. It should be easy to say together. And we're going to do it every Sunday in July so that it'll be stuck on your hard drive. So here we go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So you notice, you will receive power. And the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and you will be my witnesses. That's a result. That's what the power is for. You put fuel into the car so that you can move the car. The power is for something. In fact, it's dunamis. It's dynamite. That's the word for power. And witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So this morning I want us to consider a few scriptures, and I'm going to do something a little bit like last Sunday. The scriptures will be up on the screen behind me, and we'll walk through them and talk about them for a bit. And I'm going to start with Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah said, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send my brother. Here I am, send the pastor. Here I am, send the missionary. Here I am, send anybody but me.'" That sounds like somebody we all know, right? Jonah. Yeah. And if you know the context here, in the year King Uzziah died, that's how the chapter starts, he was a great king. And it was discouraging that this good king died. And the point here is that God is still sovereign. And Isaiah has this amazing vision of God. He sees God. And God is a sending God, a missionary God, who has called his people, the church, you and me, to be missionary agents of his love and glory. Just like he called Abraham in Genesis 12, he continues to call, "Who will go for us?" It's frequently said that God's church has a mission. God's church has a mission. But it would be more accurate to say God's mission has a church. God's mission has a church. And here Isaiah, fueled by a vision of God, responds to the call and he says, "Here I am, send me." So praying is dangerous. Saying yes to the Lord is dangerous. But boy, it's wonderful. Because it's far more dangerous not to do it. It's far more dangerous to walk through life on our own and make our own plans and not be open to what he wants to do with us. John chapter 20, verse 19 and 21. And this is right after the resurrection. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Continue to be afraid." No, he said, "Peace be with you." So they're afraid, they've locked the doors, and he sounds like he walked right through the wall, and he says, "Peace be with you." That's where he starts. He recognizes the fear. And you can bet that every single retired missionary or other here that has gone to a foreign culture or foreign field has been afraid at some point, either stepping out or whatever. And you can bet that most of us, when we cross the street to talk to that neighbor, are also somewhat afraid. Or when we talk to that coworker. So Jesus addresses the fear. He doesn't dismiss it. And he says, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In 1974, the Lausanne Covenant declared, "We affirm that Christ sends his redeemed people into the world as the Father sent him, and that this calls for a similar deep and costly penetration into the world. We need to break out of our ecclesiastical ghettos and permeate non-Christian society." That's quite something to say that we live in an ecclesiastical ghetto. Some of you already know that I'm moonlighting. Yeah, I'm going to probably have a meeting with the elders after this. I'm moonlighting, or the trustees. I have another parish. I'm on the fire department. It's so important that we find ways to get involved in the world that surrounds us, to be salt and light. I can remember not too recently, and I'll leave the names out, but somebody showed up late because she was in the shower and came late, so she didn't get on a truck to go to the call. And then, of course, you sit and wait on standby. And I don't know how the conversation went because I'm at the base. I'm just a dispatcher. And the conversation ended up going to prayer somehow. It wasn't forced. I don't know how it went there. And afterwards, she said, "You know, I should show up late more often." A God-ordained moment. It's just stepping into the moment. being in the world and trying to make a difference. How does Christ send us? As the Father sent him. Every Christian congregation and every individual Christ follower is a local expression of the body of Christ and has the same responsibilities as ambassadors of Christ. One of the greatest challenges for local congregations today is to discern and be faithful to their specific identity, their special identity as Christ's body, designed and equipped by the Holy Spirit for God's mission in the world. You've heard this till you're tired of it, but I think that there are churches in Steinbach that would kill for our location. Not just because we're right across from a park, but because of everything that we have around us in terms of our Jerusalem, our mission field. And so one of the things that I at least agonize over is, how does God want us to serve and to minister and reach into our Jerusalem, our community? It to me, that's very, very important. If the local church fails to go and instead waits for others to come, they're being disobedient. If the church's witness is only within its walls and not outward to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, then the church neglects its primary calling as priests to the world. You know, as you study history, the rapid and wide expansion of the church in the early centuries was due in the first place mainly to the spontaneous activity of individuals. It wasn't because there was a big campaign, a big program, and big strategy conferences. It was the faithful activity of individuals. It's not about us and our preferences. It's about the Holy Spirit's mission and the fact that he sends us. Properly understanding the meaning of missional begins by recognizing God's missionary nature. By nature, God is the sending one who initiates redemption with his whole creation. He is the source of mission, and the Son is the embodiment of that mission. And then that mission is done by us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. Jesus consistently spoke of himself as being sent in John's Gospel, and subsequently commissioned his disciples for that same purpose. As the sent people of God, the church is the instrument of his mission. So let's look at what Jesus said in John 15, 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. There was a time in my life where I, as a study of Scripture, I thought that all God wanted was for me to be faithful. And then when I went back and I reread, I realized that, yes, God wants me to be faithful, but he also wants that faithfulness to be fruitful. So he actually wants me to be faithful and that faithfulness will produce fruitfulness. So what does that look like? What does that look like? We need to encourage all believers to live out their primary calling as Christ's ambassadors, the way Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Ambassadors to those who do not know Jesus yet. So every believer is a missionary. I know, in that sense, not in the sense of crossing the ocean or crossing to another culture, but every believer in that sense is a missionary, sent by the Holy Spirit into a non-Christian culture, activating the whole of his or her life and seeking to participate more fully in God's mission. So this morning, one of the things that each one of us should be doing is thinking about what's my sphere of influence? Every last one of us has some of ours overlap, but every last one of us has a different sphere of influence, a place that God has placed us. And that can mean something very specific, like exactly where you live. I remember a firebrand, I wonder how he's doing, from Ukraine, who was living in a huge, huge apartment complex, not too far from Kyiv, and he said, I've got the mission field right here. He had thousands of other people living in that building that he could be a witness to. But see, he had to think that way. I have to think that way when I cross the street and think about that neighbor. And it's not just about walking across the street and hitting him over the head with a Bible. I remember one day, my neighbor across the street had emigrated to Canada, and he wanted to know about buying a lawnmower. So, Dwayne, I sent him to Keystone. And then I saw he was fiddling, and so I went over to show him how to check the oil and put in the gas. And then a while later, Diane and I were sitting out front, and I noticed he was cutting his grass. It was starting to rain. So I whipped out of the garage with the lawnmower, and we were chasing each other on the front lawn, cutting his grass quickly. Well, is that gospel? Well, it's loving your neighbor, and it's potentially getting an opportunity to share more deeply. It's demonstrating that you care about somebody. Had another neighbor, they moved from Mississauga. And we met at the mailbox, lived in a fairly large, expensive house across the street, a little further down. And he said, we're moving. That was the winter that was really cold and a lot of snow. And he says, we're out of here. My wife can't take this. They both work from home. And he says, we're going to Washington State. And he said, Ernie, you know everybody. Do you know anyone that wants to buy a house? I don't know everyone. But I don't know. I guess he realized that, you know, some of us connect with our neighbors. We're trying to be neighborly, and off they went. What's your sphere of influence? Where has God placed you so that you can be salt and light there? So Luke 10, verse 1 to 3. Thank you, Tyson. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them, two by two ahead of him, to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I'm pretty sure that has not changed. I'm pretty sure that the harvest is still plentiful. In fact, I suspect that there are moments in history that also create an openness that wasn't there before that. The most recent one that I can think of is COVID. COVID created such angst and such challenges that I think that it also opened people up to hearing the gospel or to looking for their raison de ser, their meaning in life, their purpose in life. And it was an opportunity for believers to share the hope that we have. And there have been many before that. Here Jesus says, go, I am sending you out. God is a sending God, a missionary God, who calls his people, the church, to be missionary agents of his love and his glory. And as the people of a missionary God, we're entrusted to participate in the world the same way that he does, by committing to be his ambassadors. So to be missional is to see people as God does and to engage in the activity of reaching them. The church on mission is the church as God intended it to be. Both Matthew and Mark have a final parting command that Jesus gave to his followers. And given that it is his final command before leaving, I think we should give it special attention. Mark 16:15 puts it this way. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's pretty simple. And he doesn't say here, there's a few of you that I've selected to go. The rest of you could stay. He doesn't say that. The mandate is given to absolutely every last one of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to share. And then more amply in Matthew, often called the Great Commission, Matthew 28, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. See, that's actually terribly important, the way he starts. All authority has been given to me. Have you ever tried to do a job that you haven't been given the authority to do? It does not work well. The outcome is just not great. And Jesus says here, he starts by saying, I have all authority. It's been given to me in heaven and on earth. And because I have all authority, I'm telling you, therefore, go and make disciples. All authority, a command to go. The task is to make disciples, to baptize and to teach. And then the promise, I am with you always. I'm with you always. With Christ as our focal point, his kingdom as our destiny, and his Spirit as our empowerment, we accept the privilege and joy of his mission. So what are we going to do this week? I have a couple of thoughts. One, I'm wondering what your prayer list looks like in terms of people that don't know Jesus yet. Who's your one or your two, three, five that you're praying for on a regular basis? That your heart is desirous of that person coming to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a good start. Make a list. 1 to 5. And pray for them every day this week. And then, who's your neighbor across the street? Or next door? Do you know them? Have you said hi? Have you shown yourself to be approachable? What about that coworker? Maybe you have a coworker that is watching you. And so what are you modeling to that coworker? How have you shared with that coworker? I can remember when we came home from Guadalajara, we were somewhat out of sorts and distraught. You know that is when you sink yourself, line, hook, and sinker into something, and then you move, you grieve, let's put it that way. And I was driving dump truck at Diamond. And I hauled a load of gravel to that cemetery that's down the 12 South on the left-hand side. I think it's Lutheran. And it was for their driveway. And a gentleman jumped up on the running boards to tell me where I was supposed to put it. And I says, oh, hi. And I used to work at CTs, which meant that back in the day I knew everybody, because everybody walked into CTs at one point, right? And so we talked a little bit, and then I spread the gravel. And as I drove around and I came to the door, it looked like he was running toward the truck, so I stopped. And he said, I want to show you something. And there was this wall. It's for ashes, for cremation. It's got slots, right? And he said, this is where my wife is. She got called by the doctor and said she had less than a week to live, and 3 days later she passed away. And he was choked. And I put my hand on his back, and I said, can I pray for you? And I prayed for him. And I think that's part, what I'm trying to tell you is that's part of, those moments come at us without expecting them. You've got to be thinking of it. You've got to be open to it. You've got to be ready. You've got to be willing to be used that way. And then the interesting thing is, I thought, oh, as I drove onto the highway, this is, okay, Lord, you just reminded me that I left a mission field, and I'm grieving over that, and you've got one here for me. Like, I can't be looking over my shoulder at opportunities lost. I need to be looking forward at opportunities that are in front of me. So that's what I'm desperately wanting you to think about this week. What are the opportunities in front of you? What are the ways that you can engage, be salt and light, be an encouragement, show love to people? And then as you're given moments, be able to share what Jesus has done in your life and the hope that you have because of him in your life, and in that way be an impact. So this week, I don't know who you're going to bump into, but I'm going to end by giving you the assignment that I used to give students. So don't pray and ask God for opportunities because you already know his missional heart. You know what he wants. Start every day by praying and saying, Lord, I know your heart, I know what you want, so I'm asking that this day you help me see the opportunities you send my way and help me to willingly step into those opportunities as you give grace. And then I said, and then you can get back to me at the end of the week. And so often students would come back and say, oh man, I had opportunities this week. I said, no more than the week before, you were just open to them now. Why would he send you if you're not interested or looking or listening? Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Joel to come up and Diane, and we'll see if there's some questions or comments. Heavenly Father, it's daunting as frail human vessels of clay to be chosen and sent as your ambassadors. But you have said that you will empower us by your Holy Spirit, and it's not about us, it's about what you can do through us. So I pray that this week as we go forth, that we will have an impact in this world, not because of us, but because of our willingness to be used by you, wherever you have us this week. We commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, before we get to the question, this is something that is Ernie's wheelhouse, and he's very good at it, and I'm not. And I realize that doesn't advocate me from my responsibility to go and to do and to be and to witness. I remember when we were in Chihuahua as a family, and we went somewhere to a store, and my parents were visiting, and as was prone to happen, we were waiting and waiting and waiting in the car. And my mom goes, well, who is he visiting in there? And I says, I don't know, we've never been here before, he doesn't know anybody. And Michael in the back goes, and that's ever stopped him? He's making friends, he's gonna be there a while, settle in. And that is Ernie, that is his thing. He's never met a stranger that he couldn't engage a conversation with. And I always thinking, what can I say? I don't know. So how do you do that? That's my question.
That's why he brought us together.
So I don't need to do anything, you're going to do it for me? No?
Compliment.
But it is hard. It is not as easy as he makes it sound. That I'm saying that in honesty. I don't know how you find it.
Yeah, I just think Ernie is the greatest example of this. I have a coworker that is an amazing man, has four daughters that love Jesus, have married. Amazing man, they're all involved in their churches. And that guy worked with Ernie for years and years ago. And basically, Ernie never, maybe he talked about it a little bit, but basically that man's story is that he went to Ernie and said, I need to have what you have. He was a Steinbeck guy and had seen stuff, and I don't know what turned him off from the church, but Ernie was just a living example. And that man went and said, I need to have what you have. And his life was changed from that. And so that Ernie walks the walk with this sermon, even with that tight shirt on. I feel like you, I don't know if it's obey, go, or go obey. I feel like you need to stand on the other side.
Get over there.
It isn't a rah-rah on Ernie. I'm just saying it's a gift he has. And I realize some people are gifted with it. And I believe he's been gifted with it. I don't feel gifted with it, but I don't think if you don't feel gifted that you're abdicated from not doing it, because the command was for everybody. So I'm just saying that it is harder for some of us to do the crossing the street.
Yeah.
For me, it is more difficult to do that than for him. But that doesn't... Anyway, first question. John 20:19-21 says, Jesus says, peace be with you twice. When Jesus sends us on a mission, he sends his peace with us. No need for anxiety when he is the one making the way. There is anxiety, I'm saying. There shouldn't be, but there is anxiety. But we still went. I think it was scarier when we went to Nicaragua, but we still went. And he does give you strength for whatever.
It's just as scary to cross the street and talk to that neighbor that you don't know.
Oh, yes,
well, I think the more you do it, like there's the saying about you keep throwing stuff up against the wall until it sticks, like when you're cooking spaghetti. I think the more you do it, the more comfortable it becomes, and it's easier to deal with if something doesn't good happen from that if you've had some wins and throwing yourself out there.
I always smile when someone says, I don't have the gift of door-to-door ministry. And then I say, so how many times have you done it? Never. So how do you know? Right? You can't write something off without ever trying it, right?
All right, here's one. I'm happy to talk about my faith at work politely and non-confrontationally, but even then, I've offended coworkers and started disagreements I've had to back out of. Am I doing it wrong?
Well, that's really hard to assess without actually having a snapshot of that, right? What I will say, because I've also grown through my experiences. I've made mistakes. I've tried to browbeat people into the kingdom, and it doesn't work. So where I've come to is that God created you with free will, and he respects that free will so much that he will not twist your arm. It says, I stand at the door and knock. It doesn't say I'm going to beat the door down, okay? So if I try to impose my belief system on you, I'm not only disrespecting you and your free will, I'm disrespecting the God that gave it to you. So my approach, that what I recommend, is that every time you and I share with someone, it's an invitation to dialogue. And I know every culture is different, but in Latin America at least, when I would do door-to-door, if I demonstrated an interest in what other people thought, it was like the door swung wide open, because it was an invitation to dialogue. And of the 100 plus homes that were doing my Bible studies in northern Chihuahua City there, probably 35% had the sticker on the windows that said, this home is Catholic and we don't accept any propaganda foreign to our religion. Some of them said, I don't know why I let you in, you're just so different. Invitation to dialogue. In other words, I respect you as a person, I respect your free will, and I'm just inviting you into a dialogue where we get to share, which also means to listen.
I think in that instance too, God is knocking on their door as well as he has on ours. We don't know how many steps or what that knocking is all involved. That you might have that conversation that maybe didn't end well in your mind, and that person goes on to a different job, or you have no idea down the road what God is orchestrating. So I think if you feel led to share, you just have to do that. You can continue to pray for that person, and you have no idea if it's 6 months down the road or 6 years down the road where God keeps knocking and something that you said in that moment makes a difference in that person's life.
One more. Christians are beacons of light. I've had hockey and football teammates ask me why I don't swear or why I wear a cross necklace. If you live a Christ-focused life, God will do the work for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts there. I forgot who said it. Said, preach all the time and sometimes use words. And that's a good way to stop. Thank you. Praise band, why didn't you come up?